Hey, welcome back to the Infos Podcast. This is Brian, and this is episode 69. No jokes. Quit snickering. I hear you out there. Anyway, this week, Johnny is still on the on his magical vacation at the most wonderful magical place on Earth. So I am joined by friend of the show,
David Griffin. Thanks for having me again, Brian. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I could be in Disney World enjoying all the Christmas holiday splendor they have over there. But I'm happy to be talking to you today about all things geek.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good topics today.
We do. We have a good show for everybody. So if you've noticed, the title of the show is Share the Wonders I've Seen. And that is a not so subtle nod to our main topic of the day. We're going to be talking a little Farscape. But before we get into that, there was some interesting news that has happened since we last recorded. David, if you guys don't remember David, he's been on a bunch. We love him. He's awesome. That's why he's here. You can find him on Collider, on TV Talk, and on Rebels Recap. Is it called Rebels Recap or is that the Star Wars?
Yeah, it's the Collider Rebels Recap show. Yeah.
Anyway, so he's at Griffin DE on the Twitter and Instagram. And then real quick, Dave, before we get into it, we launched a Patreon page. So you can check us out at patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some pretty cool rewards for our patrons, and you'll get episodes earlier than most people. So, check that out. All right. You ready to get into the news of the week?
I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
All right. So the Flash movie, it feels like it's, like, pun intended, stumbled out of the gate, right? It lost
in a very un-Flash-like fashion.
Yeah, it's lost another director. Seth Graham Smith was the first director. You know, they were using his screenplay, and you know, he left for creative reasons. And then Rick, I don't even know how to say his last name, the director of Dope.
Mm-hmm, right.
Famuyiwa, something like that. I don't know. Dope was, you know, dope. And he's left over creative differences now. And so it kind of leaves things really up in the air for this movie. The woman that was cast to play Iris West said she only took the role because of the director. So I don't know. How do you feel about this? Is, you know, with, you know, the Wonder Woman trailer that's been out, which has been really good, even though if it's, you know, Captain America-ish, how do you react to this news?
I think it could be a good thing. Not that the Dope director, that he got let go or over creative differences, because he's an excellent director, but I feel like, you know, remember, Geoff Johns just took over a few months ago. It's still very new. We're not really going to see the effects of what his films are going to be like until Wonder Woman a little, but not really until the next Batman film and then Justice League. So, and even Justice League, you know, that was before they started shooting that before he took over. So even that's not going to be a good example of him. So hopefully DC what they need so badly is a sense of identity. Marvel knows exactly what it's doing. It knows what it is. It knows what its strengths are. It knows what its weaknesses are. That's why every time when you go see a Marvel film, like Brian, I know you and I, not together, but we just saw Doctor Strange over the weekend. And it did what you expected it to do. There's some laughs. Mm-hmm. There's some good action. There's a very mediocre villain. You know, they don't really do well in the villain department, but you know, he's serviceable. Mads Mikkelsen did a solid job where he needed to go. And then
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. But I don't think you're given enough credit for what they did in the villain department there. But
oh, really? Okay. All right.
But
yeah,
anyway,
we'll talk about Marvel later. But I've never felt that Marvel's had an amazing, like a Heath Ledger type villain in the past, but anyway it's still a great film. I still enjoy it.
But I agree with you with the Flash. That like DC needs to find that rhythm and that, you know, that look and feel, like, you know, the universe doesn't feel lived in, right? Like Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, none of it felt real organic. Like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, I can, and not even like, oh, I can imagine this happening, you know, because it's superhero stuff. You have to suspend your disbelief. But, you know, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it's cohesive yet.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like they have confidence. You know, I feel like Marvel has that confidence. I mean, they've gone so far as to change their logo to Marvel Studios and to actually show clips from their films in the opening logo to be like, hey, this is who we are. We're not Fox. We're not Sony. this is Marvel Studios. Right. This is what we do. These are our films, just in case. Because a lot of America, a lot of people around the world that go see the films don't really know the difference between, you know, Fox.
Right.
That in their new logo now, it's like, no, these are our films. Right, you know, right. So that Marvel Studios logo means so much more now.
Yeah, I kind of thought the new Marvel Studios logo was like a big middle finger to just Marvel Entertainment as a whole. But yeah. But yeah, anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of worried about this. What little bit of Ezra Miller we got in Batman v Superman and then in the Suicide Squad little bit. Like, I don't know. It felt like they might have been actually getting to be where they were on a right track. But or not. I'm sorry, not Batman v Superman. In the Justice League trailer where, mm-hmm. You know, Batfleck like, hey, you want to join up? And he's like, yeah, I need friends anyway. You know, it concerns me to see where they're going to go.
Yeah, I hope they find a director they can work with. I hope this is just John's flexing his muscles, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, because he's a boss now. You know, he's a big boss. He's like a Kevin Feige. So you have to let people go. You have to let people go. You have to push people around. You have to push them around. So this could just be him flexing his muscles. It might not be a bad thing. I mean, like, you know, like we always say, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So we'll have to wait and see when Flash came out in 2018.
Yeah.
Supposed to be. So we'll have to wait for a couple years to see, I guess, what the final result is.
Yeah. I think, though, like you made a really important point there. They need a Kevin Feige. And the thing that was beautiful about Kevin Feige is he doesn't come from comic books and mm-hmm. he doesn't even necessarily come from like traditional movie business. But he comes from a storytelling background, and that's what makes Marvel, you know, a 14-part movie, essentially.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, Johns is great at starting a story, and, like, you know, he can reach that big climax, but, man, he does not know how to finish out gracefully.
Yeah, and you know what I can always tell by, granted, my parents are not a barometer for all of society, but, you know, my parents are, you know, in their upper 60s, getting close to 70, and I saw... they've seen most of the films, and I saw Doctor Strange with them. They don't really get the difference between Fox and Marvel and Sony, but they've seen enough of the Marvel films that before the movie started, the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer came out, right. And my dad's like, oh, there's going to be another one? Like, he has no idea they're making another one. He has no idea about Avengers Infinity War or
right.
the new Spider-Man Homecoming, but he has seen that movie, and he likes the Marvel Cinematic Universe enough yeah. where he's excited. He's like, oh, a new Guardians film. I want to go see that.
Wouldn't that be great to not like to have that reaction? Be like, oh, they're making another one. To not be, mired in this stuff as we are.
Right. I kind of wish I was as naive. Like you know, for the business that you and I are in, we you know just go over every little trailer, every TV spot, every bit of poster and advertising so much that
shot by shot, you know, we break it down
shot by shot. Like, what is this film going to be? Like, we're already putting it down a year and a half before it even comes out.
Right,
but hey, that's what we do. And that's what, you know, it makes it fun because sometimes you're surprised and you're like, mm-hmm. wow, I thought this was going to suck. And then sometimes, you know, it's like, kind of what I thought this was going to be. You know, you just never know.
And that's a great segue. So into Doctor Strange, right? So you saw mm-hmm. it with your parents. I saw it with my buddy Daryl, and we reviewed it. It went live just earlier this week. So you can go get our full review there. But Doctor Strange was a movie I was concerned about. I wasn't.
They had some late reshoots with that one too.
And you know, I'll say this. I'm really happy they waited for Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Joaquin Phoenix would have done as good a job in the role. And that's just me and my feelings sure. towards Joaquin Phoenix. And, like, you know, Daryl was saying Patrick Dempsey had been, you know, wanting to be a part of it and wanting to play Doctor Strange. It's like, I can't even see that. Yeah, it's like, no, thank you.
I mean, Dempsey can play a doctor. We know he's played a doctor before.
Go but, ride your riding lawnmower and impress the girl across the street, buddy. you know, what really stood out to me in Doctor Strange was really two things. One, Tilda Swinton was perfect, mm-hmm. absolutely perfect as the Ancient One. And, like, all the flack that they got for casting her, like, I hope that goes away because she was absolutely the best person for that role they did the Ancient One. And then mm-hmm. the other side of that is, you know, talking about the lack of memorable villains.
Yeah.
Chiwetel Ejiofor has been set up to be Baron Mordo, and he's going to be awesome in Doctor Strange too. And he's going to be there. He's going to be since Marvel Studios doesn't have access to Doctor Doom, like mm-hmm. that's who they need to hang their hat on. That pairing of him and Loki right. could be amazing.
Yeah, so when I was talking about it, when we were talking about earlier, when you said, like, you know, lack of villains, I was talking about referring to Mads Mikkelsen.
No, and I get that. And you're right.
And not Chiwetel. Yeah, Chiwetel, I mean, when I saw him in Serenity, and mm-hmm. I didn't even know who the guy was back then. Like, he was like, okay, he's the bad guy in the new Serenity Joss Whedon film.
Yeah.
Who is this British actor? And then I saw the movie. I was like, this guy's fantastic. And like, I can't wait to see him as a villain. But Mads Mikkelsen, I'm doing a Hannibal watch right now. I'm doing a binge. I'm almost on season 3, and he is... You know, he's just incredible as Hannibal. Again, it's unfair because Hannibal, he gets like, you know, 13 episodes a season to play this incredibly rich villain. And then I see him in this and it's like 2 hours of him just kind of, you know, being, he's good. He's a great actor, but just being, you know, he's not there. He's misused. He could be mm-hmm. used to do something better. And I think that's my thing with Marvel. Hopefully, like you said, Chiwetel will pan out and they'll give him some meat to chew into in terms of the script. But still, so far, I'm always a little bit let down by the Marvel villains. But again, the hero side of everything, they do so well that I feel like I'm never let down after I get out of a movie.
Right. I mean, I feel like every Marvel movie is well worth the money that you paid for it.
Definitely. And this one, I would say that the group viewers out there, if they haven't seen it, I'm sure this is a spoiler review kind of, so I'm sure that most people have seen it. But if you haven't, this one's definitely worth seeing in 3D. We saw it in 3D, mm-hmm. and I was impressed. Even though it wasn't shot in 3D, I think it's still worth seeing in 3D.
Yeah, and I did not see it in 3D, and it was great just in regular two dimensions.
Sure.
And the whole, like, the bending of, like, the buildings and the landscapes and things like that was so cool. Like, it's been mm-hmm. since, like, what they did in Dark City, right?
Right.
And they took and they brought that to, like, the umpteenth level with this one.
Yeah, it was really well done. I mean, I think the only gripe maybe you and I had was that the music was just very forgettable.
No, the music was straight up Star Trek because Michael Giacchino or whatever
mm-hmm.
he did the soundtrack for Star Trek Into Darkness, Star Trek Beyond, and he's also doing the music for Rogue One, which all of a sudden has me worried because the Rogue One music in the trailer has been amazing. So let's hope we don't get that Star Trek, you know, theme throughout.
Yeah, I hope so. Because I think, I mean, it's so hard. There's so many films that come out now. And, you know, the music, you know, some things you hear in your head all the time, you know, you hear Star Trek in your head, you hear Star Wars, you hear Jurassic Park,
mm-hmm.
The Godfather, you know, there's always very iconic soundtracks. You hear them immediately, like, oh, I know where that film's from, E.T. But I feel like with some of the like this film in particular, I was like I couldn't hum anything from the movie. I couldn't hum anything from it. Yeah.
And then the last thing about Doctor Strange is it is crushing mm-hmm. it at the box office. It's currently at $325 million.
Yeah. They're calling it it's overperforming. They think it's probably gonna beat out Arrival and all these other new films that are coming out this weekend.
It was on pace, or it was on before it came out, it was on pace to or they were projecting it was going to be like Ant-Man level.
Right.
And I mean, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy level. And I guess
really
that tells us is, keep it weird, Marvel, you know?
Yeah. And people trust them. I mean, you throw out these characters. Like, I remember, I think I told you the story. I was at Comic-Con. This was maybe 3-4 years ago. I think it was maybe around the time there were rumors that they're going to do a Guardians movie. So maybe it was 4 years ago. I remember I was in line waiting to get in a panel and somebody next to me was talking to his friend and he said, if Marvel Studios gets Rocket Raccoon on screen before DC gets Wonder Woman on screen, then DC has failed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that kind of rings true. It's like, look, they have Rocket Raccoon on and Doctor Strange before we've even have. I mean, we're getting Wonder Woman, but we still haven't gotten a full film with her yet. And she's one of the big three.
But we're going to get Wonder Woman. And then a few weeks later, we're going to get a second dose of Rocket Raccoon.
Right, and people love Rocket. They love Groot. They love a talking baby tree.
Baby Groot with the Ravager costume and everything. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's crazy.
All right, so let's talk about what DC seems to be able to get right just no matter what in the animation. Mm-hmm. It was announced, Greg Weisman came out and said, and Warner Brothers Animation came out and said that there is for sure going to be a Young Justice Season 3.
Sure.
We don't know anything more than that. We know
we don't even know where it's going to air. We don't know who's going to show it. Is it Cartoon Network going to be? I hope it's Netflix. I really hope it's Netflix.
I do too. But we know that the original producers, Brandon Vetti and Greg Weisman, are coming back. So hopefully the show will have its same look and feel. I really hope they can get all the voice talent back, because that was part of what made the show so special.
Yeah, it was so good. And I only watched it one time through, you know, during its original airing, but already since I know it's on Netflix, at some point, maybe during December, January, when the TV slows down a little bit for a few weeks, I'm going to maybe go back and do a binge of seasons one and two again, because I haven't seen it in so long. But I love that series. I'm really happy about this.
So, a lot like another one of our favorites, Korra, I bought these on iTunes as they came out. After, you know, watching them live, just because I love the series so much.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they're, wherever they go, I really hope they're off, because you know how cartoons have the worst, like, release schedule ever. I mean, Rebels is pretty consistent. You know what's going on because it's Star Wars. So they make sure it's consistent. But Korra is a mess. You know, that was a whole mess.
Clone Wars was a mess.
Clone Wars was a mess. You know, I really hope that it's Netflix, because they've done such a good job so far with Voltron.
Yep.
You know, releasing it. We're going to get more in a little bit. They already have a trailer out. Like, yeah. I really hope it goes to Netflix, Amazon, one of the streaming services for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think Netflix would be the natural home for it, because they can just do it all at once, plop it down, let us binge it. And then, you know, if it does well, you know, go back and do, you know, or even do the Voltron model and, you know, do 13.
Yeah. Do 13, then wait, I don't know, you know, whatever, 3, 4 months, 5 months, and then another 13. Yeah. Sounds good.
That would be great. The other thing, and we'll get to Farscape, but did you see today it was announced that Legends of Tomorrow got 4 additional episodes?
Wow.
It's the worst thing that can happen to that show.
Yeah, because what I like about the show is it's not, it's like 16. They did 16 last season, and it's 16 this season. So the fact that I'm guessing they're going up to 20 now.
No, it was only going to be 13 this season.
So it's up to 17 now.
And, I mean, we talk about this, like, probably 80% of our conversations involve how everything should be 10 episodes, you know, because we feel that strongly about it and agree. Like, but you look at, like, again, and the last time you were on, last time Johnny was on vacation, we talked about The 100. All right. That's a show that does so much more with so much less.
Yeah.
That this is a show that adding more is not good. Like, I've been rewatching Smallville on Hulu, and it's I loved Smallville when it was on, and there are still episodes that I'm like, man, this is a, you know, to quote the member berries, fantastic. but man, there are just some dog episodes where it's like, really, how did this make it to air? Because it was 22, you know. It's like,
yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's you know, the American way with a lot of the network, with at least with the big networks. Hopefully the CW will get out of that. Yeah. You know, they have to keep upping it. But I mean, you know, hey, it's they're doing well over there. They're getting good rate. The ratings are higher than they've ever been. And, you know, so more episodes means more advertising money. So,
yeah, but, I think, too, though, if they do like 13, they could do other heroes and that kind of stuff, because, you know, after 13, we get, you know, or mid-season, whatever, we get back iZombie, which is a really fun show. We get back The 100.
Right.
You know, there's the shows like that. There's a whole slate of a couple new, like, non-superhero-y shows that come back to the CW. So, you know, I don't know. I always get concerned when it's like, okay, we're going to do 13, and then, like, oh, wait, let's stretch it out 4 more. Because then you get that wheel spinning around, you know, episodes 9 and 10, and then it sets up like another little arc that doesn't always make sense.
Yeah, and it also comes late, you know, whereas it's nice when shows shows like a Game of Thrones or something that have 10, 13, they're, you know, they go straight to order, like, they know exactly what they're doing. They can plan out the whole season. Typically with the premium networks, like, they're done shooting, everything's done by the time they release the episode. But with network, it's so much crazier.
Yeah. But yeah, like with, I think with Game of Thrones this past season, it was done except for like some of the major special effects in the Battle of the Bastards.
Right.
When
it started
airing. So, but yeah. All right. Well, that's the current stuff. Let's take a trip back to 1999.
Wow.
Could you believe it's that old?
That was a year before I could drive. That was the year I was, had my driver's permit. Yeah,
nice. Remember
that?
Nice. Yeah.
15 then. Yeah.
I was my last year of college.
Wow.
So, but man, I was home every Friday night at 9 o'clock to watch Farscape. It was
I came into it late. I didn't start watching until I was 24, 25 on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think probably because I was 15 or 16, so I was probably doing other things, thinking about other stuff besides Farscape. But I just missed it for some reason, unfortunately, you know, because it's an awesome show. But I remember just, I think it was, you know what, I think I discovered it. I think it was right around the time that Next Generation came out on Netflix. I was gonna say it was maybe 3 years ago probably. I remember, like, it kept coming up in my suggestions, like, oh, recommend it, Farscape, you should watch. I'm like, what is this show with these Muppets? What is this? And then, you know, I clicked on it and I watched the first episode. I was like, all right. And then I kept going. I got hooked. I just binged it. I had no idea there was even, like, this whole Peacekeeper Wars movie thing, you know. I had no idea that even existed, you know. And then somewhere down, I was online, you know, being like, hey, how come there wasn't a season 5? And it said, oh, make sure you watch the Peacekeeper War. I'm like, oh, wait, how do I watch? It's just because it's not included in the Netflix.
Yeah, it's like, what are the Peacekeeper Wars?
Yeah, what's the Peacekeeper Wars?
What are
I'm really happy I found the show. And then it's great to find out that you're a big fan, too.
Yeah.
I started talking.
Yeah, it's my favorite show. Like, if I had, if someone's like, gun to your head, what's your favorite show? Like, Farscape. Like, done. You know,
might be one of the most rewatchable shows. That's like one of my favorite shows. It's probably the most rewatchable one.
Yeah. Like I don't know, like Ben Browder, just like I connected with him as John Crichton right from the, like, literally right from the jump. You know, I love that. I loved just, you know, I love the whole idea of the story, right? Because it wasn't like this crew of Earthlings out there. It was one guy who was trying to prove a theory about how to get from Earth to Mars. And then, you know, he gets shot through a wormhole. And, you know, as soon as he gets there, just by happenstance, his ship runs into another, like, much more technologically advanced ship and destroys it, like, veers it off course and it hits an asteroid. And then there's this huge misunderstanding that, oh, this death pod has killed our commander's brother. And, you know, it's like, think, go escape, like a prison escape. It's a heist. It's a sci-fi opera. It's, you know, it just had all this stuff. And then to top it off is the Jim Henson Creature Shop was involved. And in a time where CG was starting to take over, right?
Like,
they took the time to meticulously create these puppets and these prosthetics. And, you know, and you want to talk about villains, man, this show had some good villains.
Good villains, great cast, and of course it's great because they're all rejects. You know, you have a fallen priestess, you know, in Zan, and, you know, you have Darga, who's this warrior who went to jail for a while. You have Crichton, who's, you know, he's kind of a reject because, you know, he's an alien, you know, and he doesn't know anything about it. You have Aaron Soon, who's, you know, not with her group anymore. You have Chiana, and all these characters are just all rejects, and they're all coming together to work together, which always makes a good story.
Right, right.
And there's so much about, like you said, there's heists, there's politics, there's, you know, of course, romance. Like you said, it's a space opera. It's everything that you love about science fiction.
Yeah.
And it has fun. And all the comedy, it's so, there's some episodes that just make you just laugh out loud. I mean, there's so much comedy, too, because what I love about it is that it brings Earth into it. You know, typically when you watch a sci-fi, you watch Alien or, you know, even Battlestar Galactica, those shows are very serious shows, Star Trek. But you have this guy who is this kind of jock. This very intelligent jock comes in there quoting, like, you know, old Star Wars
quotes Buffy
and movie
constantly.
Quotes. Buffy, like, but, you know, he's an American, and he's American. That's another thing I love about it, too, is that for people who have never seen Farscape, most of the cast is either from New Zealand or Australia.
Well, because it was shot down in Australia.
It was shot down there, So you have, I think it was such good casting to bring. What they could have done, which many shows do nowadays in superhero movies, is they cast British people or Australians, just give them an American accent. What I love is that they got a true American in Ben Browder to come down there, and he does feel so different than everybody. He feels like he's an alien, which really helps.
Yeah, I remember, so the first and second episodes were really, really good. And
The pilot's a great episode. It's a great pilot.
And I was like, okay, I'm all in for this show, right? And, like, even second episode where Moya's, like, got to, like, rest underwater for a little bit. But it was the third episode where it was the Tavlex and those gauntlet things, right?
Yeah.
And I remember he puts the gauntlet on and he's like, well, how do you make it work? And it's like, well, you just, like, will it to work. And he goes, all right, like Green Lantern, got it. I'm up to speed. Let's go. And it's like,
yeah,
hell yeah, I'm on board, man. He's a Green Lantern fan. I'm a Green Lantern fan. John Crichton's my new hero. And
But then,
like, the best part is he comes up with these plans and they never work.
No, they're horrible. They're all bad.
But he still thinks he's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's you know, like there was just so much great stuff. There was a lot of heartbreak in this show. You really cared about these characters, and like I think two of the characters that you end up caring most about aren't even real, with Pilot and Rigel.
Yeah, I love Pilot. Yeah, that episode, especially of course, I can't remember all the names of the episodes. There's so many, but the episode where we learn that, you know, Aaron has been on Moya before.
Yeah.
And, you know, where she's actually, you know, spoke, you know, talked to Pilot and was there when, you know, all that horrible stuff happened to him. And that was a powerful episode. You really get to, they really took their time again. Well, this is one of those shows that was 20 episodes a season that I didn't mind
right.
it being in first season. There's definitely some weaker episodes. Once it gets to 2, 3, and 4, I've gone back and done a rewatch a few times and I don't mind the length. Because I felt like, you know, the story was always going somewhere.
Yeah,
it was always pushing you somewhere.
I feel like the first 11 episodes of season one was them kind of finding their feet. And then they introduced Scorpius.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And once, you know, it goes from Kreese to Scorpius as the villain. And then Scorpius is literally the overall villain for the rest of the series.
Right.
Like show me another show that reveals their villain in the first season and then runs with them for the next four.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then we meet, you know, you have like the Skarens, you know, like the villains are always on so many different levels. You have, you know, Scorpius who, yeah, sure. He's definitely a villain. You have Kreese who, you know, kind of comes around, you know, might be more of an anti-hero, you know, and then you have the Skarens and it's like, wait, well, are these guys worse? You know, like they might be worse because the Skarens kind of like one of those like, you know, we want to rule the whole world or the whole galaxy kind of races, whereas the Peacekeepers
we just want to watch it burn
quite
too.
As bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to watch it burn. So the Skarens are even worse and it's just, there's so much going on. You know, just like, see the thing, you know what I wish that Star Trek, The Next Generation, as good as that show was, I know you and Johnny just did this whole series on all the Star Trek shows. As good as Next Generation was.
Did we do a series on all the Star
Trek? You did.
Yes.
You guys talk about Star Trek a lot.
I'm well aware.
I really wish Star Trek had this focus on this show of telling a bigger overall story instead of just kind of being episodic. Because Star Trek had the cast and everything going for it. Way bigger budget than this show had. And I wish that if they could have done something like Farscape did, focusing on someone's journey and a story that, you know, builds to a, you know, really fun conclusion. I wish they would have done that. But anyway, but no, I absolutely love Farscape. I try to throw it on everybody that I know. I'm like, watch this show. Watch this show. It's on Netflix. Stream it.
And like season 3 is probably my favorite.
Season 3, I think, is the strongest overall. Yeah,
you know, you get the point. That's where, you know, and obviously this show's been out for almost 20 years. So spoilers.
Right.
You have Xandai. You have when Crichton split into two.
Yep.
And then there's the
is that the one that's die me dichotomy? It's like it's the finale of season 2. It's episode 22 of season 2 and then it's the premiere of season 3.
Right.
Yeah, really good.
And so you have like, you know, he Scorpius has put this thing in his head and you know, he attacks Aaron and you know, it's just this great thing. And like, again, like Browder, when he's like channeling, Wayne Pegram, right? When he's channeling Wayne Pegram as Scorpius, when Scorpius is like driving the ship, quote unquote, you know, it's just this awesome, awesome thing. But then you get the whole thing where, you know, he has the wormhole technology because it was a group of aliens actually put it there. Because they came across Earth and they're like, oh, wait, this could be a place for us. You know, and then you've got, Furlough, which was, you know, one of the best, like, kind of anti-hero, villainy, just kind of, I always thought of her as, like, Edge from WWE. She was the ultimate opportunist.
Yeah, she's just opportunist, right. She's in it for the money. Yeah, it's more of a money.
And like, they come across her. They do some repairs. She takes a scan of his ship. She figures out how to, like, navigate it into wormholes. And then they go back. And this is after Crichton had been split. And this version of Crichton unlocks all of the knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, oh, cool. What's going to happen here? And, like, that version of Crichton had been with Aaron and they were 100% in love. And, you know, it was like, you know, he dies. And like, I don't cry a lot, not because I'm like some super tough guy. It's like, I just don't think I have normal emotions, which, you know, that's not necessarily good either. But like, I remember watching this and I'm like, it must be dusty in here because there's like, there's stuff coming out of my face. And then when they sync back up with the rest of the crew and there's that other version of Crichton who's totally in love with her. And she's like, yeah, you just died, man. Like, and it was like, whoa, like it took that will they, won't they thing to a whole new level because like there was the whole will they for a good half of a season. And then we had a whole half of a season where it's a won't they because she didn't view him as the same guy. And it wasn't because like, oh, he cheated or there was a breakup. I don't know. I love the way they handled relationships. You know, you had Dargo and Shiana. You had Zan and Stark and, you know, you know, that was great. Stark, who was one of the agents from The Matrix, which was such a cool little thing.
I like Stark,
My side, your side. My side, your side. My side, your side.
It's like, my side, your side. My side, your side.
But, like, you know, it was just, it's this rich, like, just, you know, and we're totally gushing on this, and it deserves to be gushed on because I think it's probably one of the more underrated sci-fi just properties. And it was because it was on sci-fi at a time where it was moving from sci-fi to swiffy, you know, where they put the Y's in there. And I'll be honest, it was a show that was supposed to run for 5 seasons. They approved a 5th season. And then at the last minute, they said, yeah, we're not going to do a 5th season. And the 4th season ended on such a big cliffhanger that it's like, what are you doing? Because
And it's nice that even like the Peacekeeper Wars, you know, I've talked about this before, how it wasn't, you know, the best of the, we'll call it, you know, 2 or 3 episodes put together. It wasn't the best because, like you said, the cast had been away for a while. Yeah. They weren't really as into their characters. Shiana was, like, completely different. She seemed kind of weird. But I'm so thankful we have it because most shows, as you know, never get that opportunity. Yeah. Shows are just canceled, and that's it.
And I think,
you know, they're just gone. That's it. So at least we got something.
It's because it had such a vocal fan base. You know, it's like, it was like Chuck with the Subway stuff, right? And Chuck got picked back up because everyone went to Subway on Mondays. It was like Jericho because everybody sent, what was it, like Snickers bars or whatever, you know, to CBS when Jericho got picked up for a second season. But but yeah, I don't know. I think, though, one of the more important seasons is the 4th season.
Yeah, I like 4. I love all. I'm a huge, like, I love time travel. It's one of my favorite. Like, I'm still watching that show Timeless, which isn't a great show on NBC, but I just love time travel. That. I love, you know, Legends of Tomorrow. And I love one of my favorite episodes. I can't remember the exact name of it, but I love when, I'm going to call them the Time Masters, but the, you know, one of the alien race guys, you know, stops somebody. He has them on that iceberg.
Right.
And he keeps saying time. Time and you know John doesn't understand what it is and he keeps throwing him around in time and he's trying to understand what that concept is and how to basically control what's inside of his head which was really cool. He's finally in that, of course, my favorite episode of that season is when he finally goes back to Earth. I mean, he had some visions where he went back to Earth, or at least the, you know, back in the first couple seasons the aliens like acted like he was on Earth, but it was a fake. It was just like test
he had like there were like 3 teases where he got back to Earth, and it's like, oh wait, no, he's not. And then he gets back, and then he's there with Moya and the crew, and
everybody.
And then it's his dad, not Jack the alien, like posing as his dad.
And like you think like, oh, he's home, this is it. And then you realize that, you know, he's been through so much. This is what, season 4 now.
Yeah,
he's been through so much. He has a girl. He has responsibilities. The fate of the galaxy is resting on his shoulders in a way that like he just can't settle in.
Well,
and act like everything's normal.
Yeah, and I mean that's where like, you know, it's. The opening credits changed. His little monologue in the opening changed every season. And in the way with season 4, it was, you know, do I show them? Do I share the wonders I've seen?
Right.
And it's like, or do I protect them? You know?
Right.
And so it's like, wow. It's like, it was this thing where, you know, the Skarens wanted Earth because the flower that they eat and was going extinct grows on Earth. The Peacekeepers wanted Earth because, you know, Sabatians is what that race was, and humans are genetically compatible, you know, so they could have more, you know, it could be a breeding camp essentially. And yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was great. And then those last few episodes with the Skarrans, where they were on the Skarran Dreadnought, and you know, he's like, I'll give you wormholes and all that stuff. And it was just, oh, it's so good, because he played, like, you know, he was trying to save the girl, and he was trying to save the universe, and he was trying to, you know, keep his friends safe and together and you know, free.
Yeah, I think it's called We're So Screwed, parts 1, 2, and 3. I think that's the finale. And then, well, obviously in the end we get, he shows what that ultimate power is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's like, it's a black hole. Yeah. I can form a black hole and suck everything, and just basically it's just pure destruction.
Yeah.
I can destroy everything.
Like when he did it on Furlough's planet, where he destroyed that dreadnought. And, you know, it's like, did you just make that star? Did you just go grab a piece of that star? And he's like, you bet I did.
Yeah.
So, no, his whole, like, his John Wayne demeanor and, like, the swagger and, you know, the first season, it was like the canvas khaki type look, you know, that the astronaut feel. And then, you know, as
very much like a kind of a Han Solo mixed with a Star-Lord. Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as it went on, right, like he got like the red leather with the black leather pants, and like, you know, then he had the big like duster trench coat thing. And it's like, all right, the I would love to see like a video, just the evolution of John Crichton, you know, because he definitely did not want to be out there at first. And then he found that was home.
Yeah. He found a new family, kind of a new identity, because on Earth, he was always, which always a little bit touched on, he was always chasing after his, you know, his dad, his father's shadow. His dad is this, you know, famous astronaut, you know,
and
John
hero.
Was just kind of, he was a hero. And John was trying to basically just prove to him that he could do it. And he ends up doing so much more and finding a whole new identity outside of, you know, what his, you know, who his dad was.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, there's so many themes here. You got the whole, like, you know, daddy issues theme going on. And all that. I mean,
well, yeah, because his mom had died and, you know.
Right. Those are great when he went back to Earth and he, you know, remember he saw his younger self.
Yep.
You know, and like, I think what Chiana ends up like sleeping with as a young kid.
And it was weird. That and like his sister, like everything with his sister and his family that way. Yeah. No, it was just so good. So you mentioned Chiana. Chiana was a pretty fantastic character.
She was always hit or miss with me. I do like her. I love her feistiness. I love her. And like that episode, the whole like one with taking the stone.
Yeah.
That one was, not one of my favorites, but when Chiana's at her best, I did like her. I definitely did.
Like, you know, I kind of felt like she added the little bit of chaos that they needed they couldn't control because they did such a good job managing problems that she, like, throwing her into the mix, it was like, oh, okay, like, she's, you know, she's batshit crazy. There's, you know, like when her and Dargo became a couple, it's like, how do I deal with this? You know, like,
yeah, it felt so wrong.
Yeah.
But he felt kind of like a little kid. So right. She's a woman. She felt like a little kid in a lot of ways, the way she acted. She felt like a little kid. Then, like, you know, you get to meet her brother later on, and her brother's just very, the complete opposite of her, very composed, serious fighter, serious guy. You know, he's a leader of people, and she's all over the place. But, like, even, what I love about the show is everybody finds a home on Moya. I guess that's one thing we should talk about. We haven't talked about Moya.
No, and I was going to get there because, you know, you have a ship, a living ship, you know, and she loves these people. And, you know, she, in a lot of cases, like, to her own detriment, protects them. And, you know, it's a ship that's defenseless. It's a ship that, you know, as a race, these living ships are a lot of times, you know, enslaved by other races to get them around the galaxy. No weapons, very peaceful. All it can do is, it's called a starburst, which, you know, essentially folds space-time in half and, you know, gets you from point A to point B instantaneously. Yeah, which was such a cool effect.
Right, because another ship had that. They had, like, you know, they could warp, I don't call it warp, but they could, you know, they could travel through space quickly, but no one else had that technology to do what Moya could do.
Right.
That was her, which was always cool. And then, you know, then she can have offspring.
Yeah.
She can have a boy.
Well, and the thing with her offspring was Talon, was they had experimented on Moya to kind of crossbreed, you know, that race with a regular warship.
Right. Yeah.
And so Talon was born, and Talon had weapons, and Talon was very destructive, and you know,
as a little guy, we never actually even got to see him grow up. You know,
well,
he
didn't, and you know, he took off. Him and Krayce took off and did their thing for a while, and when there were the two Krytons, one was on Moya, one was on Talon. But at the end of the day, I mean, Talon did what he had to do to protect his mom when he destroyed the Sabbatian, you know, the Sabbatian, you know, mothership or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he, like, Talon did what he had to do. But yeah, I just think, you know, the ships on this show too, like, you know, you have the two living ships, but then, you know, you had his Farscape module, you had, you know, Aaron's, you know, fighter jet, you had Dargo's Lola, you know, which like, I don't know, I kind of felt like Lola came in so late in the series that she, like, the ship itself became kind of a crutch. It's like, oh well, we need to be able to get in and out real quick with nobody seeing us. Oh well, Lola can cloak now, you know. It was, but
yeah, now all these power, yeah,
but it was still really cool because, like, you know, he was the only one who could control it, and there was the one time where someone else had to fly it, so they kind of coated everything in Dargo's spit, because only his DNA worked it. And it was, you know, I mean, but, like, that was the fun stuff that they did with it too that made it worthwhile.
Yeah, I love one of my favorite episodes was the series Look at the Princess, Part 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Where Crichton, you know, goes on this planet where he has to marry this princess. They have to be basically, like, you know,
frozen in carbonite.
Almost like frozen in carbonite, like Han Solo, until, like, you know, for a generation until they're ready to rule. It's like, that sounds horrible.
Well, there was that. And, like, there was a great Dargo moment there because that was when his relationship with Qi'ana started. And and as Crichton was about to go through, like, the freezing process, Dargo goes, well, I have good news and bad news. And Crichton's like, well, what's the bad news? He goes, well, you're going to be frozen in this metallic substance for a year, and you're going to hear and see everything around you while you learn to be regent. And he goes, well, what's the good news? Qi'ana and I are having sex, and it is fantastic. It was just such a cool moment because they were buddies. I mean, they became best friends. And, you know, when you look at that moment from where they were when Crichton first got there and Dargo, like, lashed him with the tongue and, you know, constantly was like, you know, I
wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
Like the one of my favorite, or another great episode is when, you know, after they fight, Dargo knocks him out unconscious. Remember they have the whole, like, Looney Tunes scenes with that, you know, Dargo chasing him and all that. That was great too.
Yeah. No, you and I like to talk about shows that take chances. You know, we've both given up on The Walking Dead, mainly because it's just too safe, which is horrible to say about a zombie show, but like this show, there was legit, you know, peril for the characters. I mean,
they definitely took chances.
They killed Zahn, they killed Krayce, you know, they killed a Crichton. You know, and when they did that, that wasn't just like a cop out. Like, it made sense for the story.
It did.
And that's, like, you know, that's what was important to them is the story. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I always felt like when a character was in peril, they were legitimately in peril.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I believed in the characters. I wanted to know more about them. You know, like when I first got through my whole watch through, I was like, oh man, it's over. And, you know, and then definitely, you know, I've seen it at least two or three more times all the way through. And yeah, it stays strong. And not every show I rewatch, I'm like, it doesn't hold up as much as this show holds up.
Well, and the beauty is it's timeless, right? Like, like Star Trek is like, you know, it doesn't hold up in some ways because, like, our technology in a lot of ways has moved beyond, you know, other than traveling through the stars faster than the speed of light without having time displacement be an issue. My iPhone and your Android phone are more powerful than the computer on the Enterprise.
You
know, but with this one, because it was so alien and because the Farscape module looks like something we would not even have yet, you know, it works and it stays timeless that way.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I always keep telling people to watch. I think you'll, you know, I'm always told people will fall in love with it as much as I did. Yeah. And yeah, it's so good.
So I tell you what sucks, though, is it's not streaming on anything right now.
Is it off Netflix?
Yeah,
it was on there for a while.
Yeah, it was on Netflix forever. It's not on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon right now. However, there is an amazing Blu-ray set that is worth purchasing.
Yep, I own that.
You know, they move everything up to HD, you know, because the majority of this series was shot in full screen. So they did that HD conversion.
Yeah, so for the first, like, two or three seasons, it's got the bars on the side.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely looks, now if you want to get really techie about it, it's not quite as nice as Star Trek's remaster, because with Star Trek's, they actually have the original 35 millimeter film that they upgraded. So it's really pretty. Mm-hmm. With Farscape, it still looks good, but they just had the videotapes. They didn't have the original film.
Right.
So in terms of, like, if you're like a hardcore blue, there might be some people listening that are like Blu-ray snobs, and it won't be quite at that level, but it's still, the sound quality is excellent. Mm-hmm. The video quality is the best you're going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you know, there's some cool special features and
commentary.
Commentaries are great. And anytime that you see the behind the scenes features about the Creature Shop, like,
Jim Henson,
Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son, put so much love in so much of what I think his dad stood for into the show. Like, I get the feeling Jim Henson would have been very proud that his name was attached to this.
Right. I agree. Yeah, I mean, he did a good job. The creations, like you said, the characters, when everything's going to CG, you know, this is 99, so that's when, you know, we saw the Phantom Menace, and you see a CG. Oh, no, Phantom Menace was right around then.
Yeah,
but he was still, I keep forgetting, he was still a puppet then, Yoda.
Yeah. Oh, Yoda.
Yoda was still a puppet. But there were other animal people that you saw that were CG, and now they took a chance, probably because of budget constraints.
99 to 2003, Clone Wars came out.
Yoda went digital.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I think just at the end of the day, Farscape is something that, like, if you consider yourself a geek or a nerd or, you know, just a fan of science fiction, it's definitely required viewing.
Yes. Much sci-fi fan, watch. Not a sci-fi fan, still watch it anyway.
Yep.
It's a good show.
Yep.
It's just good characters. It's good characters.
Yeah. No, it totally is. Another funny thing is when they initially released the movie or the series on DVD, it would come out in 2-disc sets.
Mm-hmm.
And each disc would have, you know, 2, sometimes 3 episodes. And so a lot of the episodes are actually out of order, where if they would have like a four episode arc, they would put like the, whatever the first episode is on one disc, or the first 2 episodes on one disc, or no, disc 1 would be an episode that wasn't related to the arc, and then the last episode of the next, you know, after the next 2, and it's like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. Where they fix that on the you know, complete series.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I had no idea, because when I was watching episodes, I'm like, wait, this is a different order than I remember watching them, but it made sense when you're, again, season 1 isn't as connected as the other seasons. No. If you know, it doesn't ruin anything, but it is, I do like watching it in its original order, production order.
Yeah. And in the film order too. I mean, that's the production order is the way it came out on television. So, or the release order, I guess, is the way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember, cause I got the complete series. Like, I had the entire series on those like individual 2-disc things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the complete series on DVD, and I gave all that to my father-in-law. Sorry, I came over with just a big box of, I'm like, here you go. I know you like this. You can have this. I have this one now. And then I got the Blu-ray like 3 months later.
No, it's something. Oh, that's cool that you shared it with him. Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. It's definitely meant to be shared.
Absolutely. Yeah. If someone's listening and they haven't seen it, I will happily donate the DVD version of the complete series, like, to anyone. Just let me know. contact@infamouspodcast.com. I'll even pay shipping.
That's a good offer. Take them up on it. It's a good
definitely
offer.
All right, man. Well, I think I don't think there's anything else we can say about Farscape, is there?
Just watch it. Yeah, that's all I can say. Just watch it.
Definitely. Okay, so you're on Twitter, you're on Collider. Just kind of real quick, remind everybody where they can
find you. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @GriffinDE. That's GRIFFINDE. on Twitter and Instagram. Also, I'm going to be on Collider Video on YouTube every Monday, Collider TV Talk, new episodes, usually around 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as well as Star Wars Rebels. There's no episode this week, but next week we'll be back, and those episodes go up Saturday night, just after the episode airs.
Cool. Very, very cool. And you'll wear an Infamous Podcast t-shirt again on the show soon, I'm assuming.
Yes, I do need to wear that. I still have my shirt. I need to wear that.
Anyway, and, you know, I'm Brian Tudor. I'm at Brian Tudor on most social networks. You can find me there. You know, in his absence, Johnny is on Twitter and Instagram at Johnny Podorf. And the Infamous Podcast, we are at infamouspodcast.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. We have new shows every Friday. We have occasional bonus episodes on Tuesday. We just put out a great review of Doctor Strange, so go back and check that out. It does have some minor spoilers. And if you like what you hear, we are definitely looking for some help to grow. We want to start attending more conventions and getting some of the interviews that we know you guys like. So check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. And, you know, we have some pretty cool tiers that we're giving away some cool stuff. And if you like it, that would be great. All right, Dave, any last words?
No, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Brian, yeah. Like, I'm always like, hopefully next time I come on, get Johnny on here too. It's always nice talking to him.
It is. It's, yeah. Well, I actually talked to him just before you, I called you, because, he asked me to swing by his house, and I'll actually send you I took a little video, and I'll send you the video. It's pretty funny what I did.
Oh, nice. Cool.
But yeah, man. Well, cool. Well, thank you. As always, it was awesome to have you. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Whenever you're listening to this, daylight, day, night, evening, weekend, morning, whenever it is, have a great day, and we will see you soon. Later.